Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This lesson will discuss another measure of the Holy Spirit as a follow-up to previous lessons that we have given concerning the Holy Spirit and concerning the measures of the Spirit. While Christians today do not have the same association with the Holy Spirit as did Christ, nor has he nor can he have the same baptismal measure as did the apostles, nor does he or shall he possess miraculous spiritual gifts that were given by the laying on of apostolic hands, there is a relationship, of course, between the Holy Spirit and the Christian today. Now we can speak of this as fellowship, as the Spirit dwelling in us and us in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Timothy chapter 1, there can be no doubt that the Spirit is active in the life of a Christian and acts on the behalf of the Christian and dwells in the Christian. But friend, there's a vast difference in saying that the Holy Spirit dwells and abides in us and with us and saying how he does this. The Scripture also asserts that the Father and the Son dwell in us. Are you aware of that? Therefore, in addition to the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, all members of the Godhead are said to dwell in us. All three direct and influence our lives by the power that they exercise. Now, how deity exercises this power, we have to learn from passages other than those that simply assert and affirm the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling of the Father, and the dwelling of Christ in us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2, it teaches that the Galatian Christians received the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith, the message of faith. That's the gospel of Christ. The way the Holy Spirit abides with the Christian is by the gospel. Faith comes by the preaching of the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17, and never separate and apart from the word. The Holy Spirit was received when people heard and properly responded to the gospel. That this, in Acts chapter 2:38, does not refer to some miraculous power or some personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and to contend that is to force an unwarranted conclusion. Christians do receive a gift. It's a gift given by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 teaches that Christ also dwells in our hearts. But how? He dwells in our hearts by faith. But friend, again, we would remind you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Christ dwells in our heart the same way the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's by the hearing and the following of the Word, Galatians 3 and verse 2. There is no dwelling of Christ in us apart from the Word. There is no dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us apart from the Word. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, and also in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, here are some parallel passages. We're to be filled with the Spirit. That is, as the other passage says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Therefore, it is certain that the Godhead dwells with us and in us, in the faithful Christian, leading and influencing us by the word. This is the way the Father and the Son sustain their relationship in John chapter 15. All of the influences on the human heart by the Holy Spirit are accomplished through the hearing and the application of the word. Without the Word, there is no relationship. The doctrine that there is a personal and actual indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the physical body of Christ is foreign to the truth, and there is nothing in Scripture that will sustain such a doctrine when we take all that the gospel teaches on the subject. We are not the incarnation of deity. We're not little gods walking about, as we would have to conclude if the personal indwelling doctrine were true. As we obey the word of deity, so we have fellowship with deity. The dwelling one with another is just another way of expressing fellowship that humanity can and does enjoy with deity when one is in the Lord. In Romans 8 and verse 14, we're taught that we're led by the Spirit. But how does the Spirit lead? It is not by some mysterious, miraculous, better felt than told experience. We're not to expect a direct operation as was received by Noah and Abraham or Paul. But we're guided by the word of truth that God has provided for us. There is no question that the Spirit leads, but we must remember He leads by and through the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17, it teaches that the Spirit testifies that we are the children of God. But apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, we can neither be the children of God, nor could we know that we are the children of God. But the testimony of the Spirit, not to our spirits, but with the testimony of our spirits, we can know that we are children of God. Friend, the Spirit has testified what is God's way of saving us. That's in Scripture. Our spirits can testify whether or not we've done as God has commanded. And the two testimonies together, one with the other, informs us of our spiritual state. The testimony of the Spirit is in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is a source of comfort even to the Christian today. Christ identified Him as the Comforter to the apostles, and through them to us as we follow their doctrine. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4, I am filled with comfort. The early church enjoyed the comfort of the Spirit, Acts 9 and verse 31. And the Christian is comforted by the words that Paul wrote, such as in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, concerning those who have died in the Lord. The things written aforetime were written for our comfort through the Scriptures, Romans 15 and verse 4. In times of distress and sorrow and weakness, we seek God's comfort from His Word and our knowledge of it. The promises found therein, given to the Christian, serve as the basis of our comfort and of our hope. And they are the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote, Wherefore comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, and the words are the words of the Holy Spirit. And yes, the Holy Spirit assists us in our spiritual growth. Once having become a Christian, we are expected to grow, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. In Romans 15 and verse 16, it teaches that we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Just as the work of the Holy Spirit is involved in converting us to Christ, His work continues in our growth in Christ. We become more and more like a son rather than a servant of sin when we partake of that which is offered to us through the Spirit. The Spirit does not do His work directly upon us. He does His work through the Word. We, like those others, were sanctified by the Word. Having been set apart from our sins and from the world by obeying the Word, we grow as we feed upon the sincere milk and meat of the Word. And even though we're forced to conclude that the Holy Spirit operates on man through the Word, let us not confuse the Holy Spirit as being the same thing as the Word. While there is perfect harmony, of course, between the Word and the Spirit, the Word is the instrument, it is the means used by the Spirit to operate on man. It is similar as a surgeon operates on his patient by the use of his instruments. What the Scripture attributes to the Holy Spirit as to leading and guiding and directing and influencing man, saint and sinner alike, is also said of the Word. Because the Word is used by the Spirit to this end. Notably, Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 17 that the Word is the sword of the Spirit. There is another work and service rendered by the Spirit on the behalf of the Christian, for the Christian. But let us distinguish between what the Spirit does to us and what He does for us. What He does to us is by the Word. What all deity may do for us, we must confess limited knowledge, for there is limited revelation in this area, and we do not profess to comprehend all the workings of deity. Now there are those things that are done for us. because of the dwelling of the Spirit, because of our fellowship with the Spirit. The Spirit serves as an intercessor for us, Romans 8:26-27. And we must take note that there is a difference between a mediator and an intercessor. We have only one mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, and that's Jesus Christ. But there may be many intercessors, even as we can even intercede on the behalf of each other in prayer, 1 Timothy 2:1. But learn that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He intercedes always according to the will of God, and he does not bypass the Christ through whom we must go. A mediator is one that acts between two parties by belonging to both parties. An intercessor pleads on the behalf of one representing another. Christ is both a mediator and an intercessor. The Holy Spirit intercedes, however. We can even intercede for each other. For instance, as Romans chapter 8 notes, there be those times when we cannot pray as we ought. But even then our groanings are taken before the throne of heaven through Christ and offered to God by the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Now we are aware that some have different views of this passage in Romans 8:26, but their views separate man from his own spirit as if they were different entities. We are confident that the above view is consistent with Scripture throughout, that in those times when man knows not how to pray, the Spirit intercedes, intervenes on the behalf of mankind. He is our intercessor in those situations, but always according to the will of God, which means it is through Jesus Christ, his Son. What a glorious blessing it is to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf and takes into account our sufferings that may well disable us from praying to God as we ought. And because of this intercession, we can proclaim, as did Paul, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. And we also must note the difference between deity dwelling in us and the providence of God. Now, by the providence of God, we refer to the participation of deity in the affairs of men, even though we know not how he does it except through natural means. Like the biblical assertion that deity dwells in us and we in deity, we accept the biblical assertion of the providence of God and have no reason to dismiss it just because we do not fully understand all that is involved in its operation. Providence is not a miraculous operation. God answers prayer by providence today, not the miraculous. In the life of Joseph, that's a good example of the providence of God in operation. We dare not attribute everything that occurs in life as the operation of God's providence because many things happen in which God has no involvement. Sin often brings certain conditions upon mankind, and God does not bring them. There be those things that happen even to the Christian simply because Christians are in this world and they are human and they experience many things such as are common to the human family. But we see the providence of God in operation in the life of Esther, do we not? Especially as Mordecai explained to her, "Who but knows that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" As the account of the life of Esther unfold, we see God's providence in operation to the preservation of his people that were still in bondage. And of course, since deity is the one that provides for us, and the Holy Spirit is deity, to this extent and in this way, the Holy Spirit has a relationship with the Christian. And one other area of association between the Holy Spirit and the Christian today that we want to mention is that the Christian is to bear good fruit. John 15:8. And that is the fruit of the Spirit that is listed in Galatians 5. Such fruit will distinguish us as Christians and identify us as Christ's disciples. The Christian produces this fruit as he partakes of the Word that has been taught by and through the Spirit. It is by the production of this fruit, directed by the Word, that evil is driven from our lives and we're motivated to that which is righteous. While Christians today have a different relationship with the Holy Spirit than it did with the Christ, or with the apostles, or with those during miraculous times of the infancy of the church, we're thankful for what Scripture reveals concerning our present relationship with deity, including all three persons of the Godhead. Dear friend, you just keep this in mind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all dwell in the Christian. That simply means we have fellowship with deity, and this is possible by and through our conformity to the Word. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.